Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview. I want to talk to you on behalf of a great client to support this podcast and many of our other podcasts, and I so appreciate Peter Aiello, who has a great book called Hidden Treasure, and he's willing to send that book out to you today, totally free, hiddentreasure.website. And I recommend you do that, not just because they're a sponsor, but because they answer some great questions that he addresses unconditional trust in Christ and how it's missing in the practices of many ministries. Many times it doesn't even go beyond our own mental imagery. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and not to lean on our own understanding. And that's obviously from Proverbs 3:5. And Isaiah 55:8-9 tells us that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We got to get beyond our own thoughts when we unconditionally trust in God. Would you go visit that website now, hiddentreasure.website? And my thanks go out to Peter Aiello and his great book, Hidden Treasure. Now back to the program.
Hello and welcome to the Strang Report. Today I'm talking to Jerry Tuma, who's president of Cornerstone Financial Services in Dallas. And we're going to talk about economics and how what is going on in the economy affects the average Christian. So I'll start by saying hello and welcome to you, and thank you for being on the podcast today.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Steve. Thank you.
Jerry, we've published your book, Boom to Bust, a number of years ago, and you're a respected person in the financial services field. Would I be wrong in calling you an economist? But, you know, economics was a course I took in college, and now that it's over, I guess I'm glad to not have to deal with that. So why don't you tell me how the trends and so forth that you watch affects somebody like me?
Well, Steve, there are huge economic trends. One of the things that we teach in our seminars and our books and our radio show is that they're kind of missing ingredients, if you will, from what's going on in the economic realm that most people are not aware of. Even Robert Shiller, who's the Nobel Prize winning economist at Yale, said that most economists never warn people about the big economic downturns before they start. And he's documented this going back to the Great Crash and the Great Depression, because they seem to have this missing ingredient. They all tend to be looking very, very closely at the trees, even the bark under the trees, and they don't see the forest fire coming. So what we try to do is really look at more of the big picture forces, the altitude, the 30,000-foot altitude view of the economy and the markets. And it's not a matter of trying to predict what's going to happen ahead of time. It's really more like two factors. Number one is looking at extremely large, outsized, what we call demand waves. We talk about big wave investing as one of our themes in what we do. And that is simple. The markets are ruled by the laws of supply and demand. So if you can look out ahead and see where these giant waves are coming from, if you saw a tsunami coming toward you at the ocean, you would probably want to take cover, you'd probably want to move, but there's also opportunity every time you see one of these giant waves, and we're having a lot of these waves right now. We had the baby boomer wave that drove people for really 30 years, from the early 1980s until about 2008, more consumer spending, big boom in the stock market, housing, all those things were affected by 76 million people coming in and spending, buying cars, buying clothes, and driving the economy higher. Right now, that wave is kind of backing off. In other words, it's more like the tide is going out on the boomers. As the boomers age and they get into Medicare and Social Security, they're not spending like they were before. We also have big, big waves in China, for example. China is the largest economy in the world in terms of number of people. It's the second largest economy in terms of GDP, or gross domestic product total output, but it's a monster wave. They've been driving commodities higher because they've been building cities and highways, hydroelectric dams. India will be another coming wave. So there are big issues that somehow people get too caught up in short-term thinking. They don't see these giant waves coming, but the issue is if you can put your surfboard in front of those great big waves, the odds of your success are much, much higher, and the magnitude of your success generally is much greater. Those are the kind of waves we try to talk about in our materials so people can see big picture forces coming at them long before they get there.
I find this very interesting, yet I feel that I have relatively little time to learn and research. So if I'm looking for resources that I can absorb, that I can consume, tell me what you have that's available that I could take advantage of, or our listeners.
Well, right now we're set up where we have newsletters that I send out free of charge. It's on our website, cornerstonereport.com. We also have an email service that tells you what we're going to talk about on the radio show every week that goes out. So we're trying to develop more and more resources that will go to people. And I kind of use the Zig Ziglar approach. You know, you get what you want in life when you help enough other people get what they want. So we don't charge for this newsletter, even though there's an intense amount of research and a lot of cost involved in the research there. We want people to understand what's coming ahead of time so they don't get hit by the next Mack truck. Because traditionally, again, most of the media sources, when you get to the top of any cycle, they'll be quoting politicians or business leaders. They'll be very optimistic. They won't see these major turning points coming. And, Steve, I think we're approaching a major turning point for both the economy and the stock market in the next several months.
What is behind these things that you see coming?
First of all, if you look at stocks, for example, stocks are very expensive. If you compare it on a price-earnings ratio, any type of comparison yardstick, if you will, that looks back over, let's say, the last 100 years, they're expensive. They're not ridiculous like they were in 2000 in the dot-com era, but they're expensive. And the bigger issue really is that there's a whole lot of leverage involved. If you look at people borrowing money to go into stocks, known as margin, there's an enormous proliferation of people who have been borrowing money. The problem is that once this cycle recurs, because every bull market in the history of man has been followed by a bear market, just like summers are followed by winters, there's always a correcting phase to the market. When you have too much debt that's bubbled up into the system, that makes it more extreme when it begins to come down. So I'm concerned a little bit less about the U.S. economy right now, more about what's happening overseas. Geopolitical in the Middle East, I think, is going to be a big issue. All these big countries over there, they need $100 barrel oil-ish in order to break even with their governments, and now we're way below that. That was driven, again, by, I think, too much borrowing in the oil market and leverage kind of pushed the system back down. I think you've also got a bubble of some sort of debt in some of these emerging markets like China, India, Turkey, and they're becoming big. Right now, what we call emerging markets in our system are 43% of world auto sales. So they were small potatoes back in the 90s, the last time they had any disruptions. Now they're very big, and they have some loans that are denominated in U.S. dollars. Their currencies are going down. This is creating issues because it's putting stress on the system. So I think that, I think Europe's got a lot of weak points. I see a lot of stressors from outside the United States being the predominant factors that could influence the next downturn in the U.S.
Let's talk about the oil prices. It seems to me that oil prices have always gone up. Sometimes artificially, where even OPEC has decided that what the prices were going to be. What has caused oil prices to come down, and why would that hurt these governments?
Well, first of all, the vast majority of this, I believe, was leverage or borrowing, and this was the big banks. Big banks and institutions, they can lever, we call it leverage, but think of it borrowing. You know, they can take, let's say, in more realistic terms, $1,000 and invest $30,000, or $1 million and invest $30 million. If something's levered 30 to 1, which is what happened with Bear Stearns and Lehman Brothers when they went bust, 30 to 1 leverage creates, basically wipes out your capital if the market goes against you by a mere 4%. So these huge amounts of leverage, there's no question that the big banks of the world were over-levered, if you will, in the oil markets. And once it began to go down, you have forced selling because borrowed money in the system means that's built-in selling pressure when the market starts to go against you. And in my opinion, the pendulum just swung way too far. I don't see that the supply and demand dictate anything like a drop from 115 a barrel to 44. That's ridiculous in terms of how far it dropped. I think it's a bit of a warning sign that maybe issues are coming in the world economy, but it was primarily driven by too much borrowing, too much leverage by the big banks in the system. So now what we have to deal with is countries out there, for example, Saudi Arabia has a lot of money, but they need $93 a barrel, according to all the estimates, to pay their social programs. They basically keep the populace of Saudi Arabia happy by giving them benefits and giving them all sorts of goodies. Iran needs somewhere around $120 a barrel to break even. In other words, they need $120 a barrel to generate. Almost all of these economies in the Middle East are dominant on oil as their primary source of revenue, meaning Saudi Arabia, 90% of the government's revenue comes from oil resources. So Saudi, compared to everybody else, is wealthy. They have a lot of resources, a lot of money and savings, if you will, they can fall back on. But Iran doesn't. And Russia doesn't, and all these other countries have big issues because they had decided they thought oil would stay above $100 a barrel. It's what my good friend Larry Burkett used to call presuming on the future. They assumed that oil would stay very high, so they built their social programs up for their governments that needed a very high oil price, close to $100 a barrel. Now when oil's crashed back down into the 40s and 50s, they're bleeding cash like crazy. So I think the warring factions over there, I'll put it this way, it would be in somebody's best interest to try to create issues in the Middle East, which would push the price of oil back up so they can pay their bills.
You have a great talent of being able to describe pretty complex things simply, and so I thank you for that. And I want to just cycle back around and talk about how people can learn more. So they could subscribe to your free newsletter, they could listen to you on the radio. Tell us how people can connect with you.
Thank you again, Steve. Our website is cornerstonereport.com. Again, that's cornerstonereport.com. People can go there. They can download the latest special report that I've just finished, which is about it's a long one. It's a 40-page special report, which I've never written one that long before. But I felt like it was the opportune time to be very comprehensive about stocks, about China, about all these factors, the Middle East, and so forth. So it's a very comprehensive report. People can download it, give it to their friends, print it off. We put that on the website. And again, there's information. Our radio show is tape delay broadcast on there every week, so you can find out where our latest thinking was, a few days back. Again, it's cornerstonereport.com.
Thank you for being with me today on the Strang Report.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Peter Aiello and his website, hiddentreasure.website. Thank you, Peter, for sponsoring this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.